Ladies and gentlemen, we are back. Week two of the High and Outside podcast. You already know where to follow me at October Zone Tay. Dante Miles back in the building. We're running a three-man weave again today. I'm going to bring the fellas in a second. But before I do that, you know where to follow us. Barber's Chair Cole on Twitter and Instagram. You already know. Follow the Patreon, patreon.com/Barber's Chair Network. And if anything else, Barber's Chair Net, make sure you check out the bcnet.com. A lot of great content. You know, NFL season is over, but we are still holding it down. We are still doing what we do. And just make sure you check in with us. Let's bring the fellas in and let's get into the MLB week, man. How y'all feeling?
We good.
I'm doing good, man. Tired. First homestand finally out the way. I'm glad they're out of town.
Yeah, how was that, bro?
Oh, it was fun, man. Pitching was the word of the day. I don't know if it's pitching or bad offense, because all these every single matchup I saw this weekend was straight domination on the mound, and I'm seeing teams score 2-3, 2-3, one inning ending these games. So it was cool. I like games like that. I love the home run like everybody else, but I don't like the bad offense, but I do love the good defensive pitching.
Yeah, no, I agree, bro. I think, you know, we've talked time and time again about how it's just a lot harder to hit these days. You know, we, you know, pull up every metric in the book, and it's really just, it's not the same. With the amount of pitchers that these teams have, the fact that guys are going, you know, five innings and throwing 100 pitches because they know they're going to just pull me and bring in another guy throwing 100. Like, it's a completely different game. So I'm with you. I love the offensive explosion at times. You know, the Braves, once again, I'm going to get into them later. But back hitting the ball out of the ballpark. You know, they had a terrible start to last season. This year is a lot better. They're actually in first place right now, Sydney. But we'll get into that later. It's too early. It's very early. I'm not going to rub it in too soon because we know how this year goes. We know what happened last year. So, but for right now, you know,
have your fun.
Braves are doing what they need to do. We need to be have your done. Fun. And, you know, with that being said, I'm going to slide it right back to you, Sid, because your New York Metropolitans, you have a fallen guy right now, you know, the however many million dollar man. What is it, 500,
600? 763.
Okay, my apologies. that's insane. But no, Juan Soto, he went down. Just tell us what's going on with the Mets right now, bro.
Yeah, Juan Soto, calf injury. He's out 2 to 3 weeks. The original prognosis was I was panicking because, you know, Mets panic and everything like that. But it really does seem that, like, by committee, the Mets have figured this out, right? We've talked so much about David Stearns. We've talked so much about, you know, the type of teams that he likes to build. He likes to build, you know, scrappy teams that hit the ball in play and have, like, positional versatility. And because of that positional versatility, we have Polanco all over the diamond. We have Mark Vientos DHing in 1B. We have Brett Beatty all over the diamond. We have Bo Bichette out of place. We have, you know, we have all these different moving pieces for the Mets. But, you know, that's kind of what David Stearns envisions when we talk about things like this. But either way, your $763 million man is out for 2 to 3 weeks. And the question will have to be, how can you replace that? Because Juan Soto started the season on a tear. I'm pretty sure he hit in all 8 games that he played this year before he got hurt. And he also started early. He's starting earlier with the power this year. So, you know, the Juan Soto contract will be what it is. But it's really hard to replace those guys. But or not even those guys. The guy. It's hard to replace the guy when it comes to someone who's worth $763 million on paper. So yeah, you know, we'll see what the Mets have. But right now, Carson Bench, Brett Beatty, and Luis Robert Jr., they seem to be like the three man that's holding it down while the guy is out. So it seems to be working. Sands a loss today, but, you know, baseball, there's a lot of games to lose and there's even more games to win.
Yeah, and, you know, we talked about this when the trade went down, and I told you about Luis Robert Jr., you know. There's one thing about a ball player who's not motivated. Like, it can look really bad when they just don't care. And this is somebody who we knew had the talent. The talent's always been there. You get a lot of soft tissue injuries, which, you know, when you talk, you hear other athletes speak about it, they say, you know, that's just you not preparing properly. And so, you know, being in New York, being around Juan Soto, who they say is his best friend, I figured we would get, you know, a different Lewis Robert Jr. It's just a matter of, does this extend throughout the season? And I think if he stays healthy, it does. That All-Star year, he was, you know, one of the best center fielders in baseball. The range is there.
Speed is there.
The speed is there.
Exactly. There's so many parts to Lewis Robert Jr. that make it very possible for him to be exactly who we think he is from that 2022 season, right?
Yeah.
And it's even more so one of those things where at spring training, Carlos Mendoza even said, hey, like, we're keeping him out of like the first half of spring training for conditioning. And everyone's like, hey, well, what do you mean? Like, shouldn't you have gotten your conditioning in during the summer? And like, sure, maybe, but like, this is a lot of games of baseball. You're now, you go from playing on the south side of Chicago where good baseball is at a premium to playing in Flushing, where good baseball is the expectation, right? And like, it's different. It looks different. It sounds different. And the conditioning is going to be different. The programmings are going to be different. And for all the hubbub of the Lewis Robert trade, he was traded for someone whose spray chart is just a bunch of singles in a corner for poor Luis, Luis Angel Acuna. I'm sorry. But yeah, his spray chart is right there. And, you know, there's immediate impact with the glove, with the walk-off homer versus the Pirates that Lewis Robert has shown. So yeah, like that $20 million option, hit that button. He's coming back next year. Call it already.
Yeah, absolutely. It was something where with the White Sox, I didn't mind keeping him because his value, in my opinion, was at an all-time low. He hasn't had a good season, like I said, since 2022, and he's just been a lack of effort. So they got what they could for him. And, I mean, Acuna Jr., you know, the speed is there. He does a few things, but is he a long-term piece? I don't think so. So it's just, you know, taking a flyer on a guy. And why take a flyer on a guy when you could have just took a flyer on the guy?
On the guy that you already had, right?
Exactly. That you know, the comparisons were already there. It's just, you know, I get it. You want new faces in the clubhouse, do something different. I get it, you know.
And he came from the Rangers. Like, that was
just, it just finally clicked to me that he's been passed around from each of our respective favorite squad.
He
the Max Scherzer trade.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the original sin, shout out my guy, Billy Epler. Oh gosh, the Ep dog.
Yeah. Oh wow. No, man. I think he'll definitely help the Mets hold it down while Soto's out. The injury bug has been out early. You know, yeah. I know DeGrom had an MRI the other day, Malik.
Yeah, that you can't believe anything the Texas Rangers say.
This is about his knee though, right? Not an MRI, I'm sorry. But
no, yeah, he had an MRI checkup on his knee. He said he had some knee issue flare up that he had previously, which was news to everybody who didn't know he had a knee injury previously. They didn't disclose if it was spring training or last. The Mets knew, which it probably is a three. This injury's probably been bothering him for 3-4 years, but
it's got to be a Mets injury.
the reports today came out that the MRI came back clean. However, being around the Texas Rangers for so many years now, I know to take that with a grain of salt. And when they say that he will probably make his next start, there is a 90% chance that he will miss that next start. So we'll see if he's pitching. I believe he's scheduled Saturday against the Dodgers. Saturday night, Kumar Rock will be pitching. We'll talk about Kumar later, but he'll be pitching Friday. So we'll see about that. But yeah, the injury bug, it got to Mr. DeGrom twice. And he already missed a start. Opening weekend, he wakes up with a crick in his neck. I don't know if he was just running from Philly or what went up with that.
Yeah. No, I mean, like I said, and speaking of injury bug, the Braves might be getting a couple guys back. You know, Spencer Strider is about to throw another bullpen session, working his way back. Ronaldo Lopez suspended for 5 games, it was originally 7, got it reduced to 5. And because of the day off, he won't miss a start. So, you know, the beautiful thing about pitchers getting suspended, every game counts. So it's not like he has to miss five starts. It's just, okay, sit up. You can't come in for a week, but come on game day. And he'll be able to pitch, so that's cool. And also, Spencer Schwellenbach, he posted. He got fans excited. He was throwing in the bullpen, like tossing, nothing crazy. But that's definitely two arms that you want to see back in that rotation because, you know, guys have held it down. Chris Sale has been lights out so far. You know, he didn't like the way he was pitching last game. You saw him hit himself in the head with the ball. But Grant Holmes, these guys, Bryce Elder, they've really held it down for the Braves, and that offense has been clicking. And so, you know, right now they're really doing what they need to do. And so as they get these guys back, it's going to be interesting to see what happens for all of these teams. But let's go on to our next topic real quick. ABS. This is what we all were waiting for. The early results are in. I have some actual numbers in front of me. I'll pull them up right now. This is as of a few seconds ago via Baseball Savant. I just refreshed it. Overall, 54% of the calls challenged have been overturned. That's okay. 653 attempts so far. 351 balls have been overturned. 302 have been confirmed. Batters are currently 48% on ABS calls. Fielders are 59%, which I expect, especially from the catchers.
Catchers, yeah.
I expected them to be a lot more on point with this. There was a game. Matter of fact, it was the very first game. Salvador Perez is down here in Atlanta. Oh, yeah. It was three calls, all on the bottom of the strike zone, and he was 3-for-3, and it was just money. He was just every time, just real quick. It's been funny seeing a lot of the batters' reactions with like blade with calls that are clearly balls, and they just tap, especially if it's ball four, and they just start taking their shin guards off. Yeah. Like, let me just go. One thing I will say before I pass it to you guys, and I'll pose a question after we all give our initial reactions to ABS, but I've loved the crowd reactions. Like, because they all at every stadium they throw it on the Jumbotron. It's actually really quick. It's a lot better than NFL replay because nobody walks off. It's legit a 3-second process. Boom, you see what happens. They tell you how much it missed by, how much it was a strike by. We keep going. But for example, with everybody's favorite, he was getting destroyed the other day, but what is his name? Not last.
Was it Buckner?
Yeah, CB. Good old CB Buckner. You know, the crowd was really giving it to him with every call he missed. There was one in the Baltimore game where the catcher challenged it, and it was actually strike three, and it ended the game. And the crowd went crazy. So I'm loving the reactions, and I'm loving how effective it is. It's been quick. And for the most part, you've seen a few guys challenge some pitches where it's like, come on, bro. And I think as we go on, you'll see some teams dial it back and change the situations they use it. Because there was one with the Braves where they lost their two challenges in about – two pitches. Ronald Acuña challenged two pitches and they were done already. So you're going to definitely see the strategy implemented. That'll turn into different things. But I've loved it so far. Malik, how you feel so far about ABS?
Yeah, I like it. It was cool how we got to see it at the All-Star game last year. They popped it up a few times. And I believe in that first inning, they caught a few people slipping. Got to talk to a few players about it. One, Kyle Higashioka, and he credits the umpires. I mean, they make their mistakes, but a lot of these pitches that are right on the corner where it's there's no middle ground, and that's what I like. These pitches that are right on the corner, barely where one seam is touching the plate, it's done. There's no argument. There's no throwing your helmet at the umpire. But like you said, though, I think teams have to find a strategic way to execute this. I think it was maybe Dominic Calzón or Reyes Rios, one of the Mariners' backup shortstops. There's nobody on base. It's like the third inning, and he strikes out, and he's calling for a challenge, wasting that. And it's like that. I don't think these teams need to, for one, disclose, hey, you can challenge. If it's not the ninth inning with an out or whatever, these three people, I give you guys freedom to challenge. The rest of you guys, you're going to have to deal with it unless if there's, I don't know, a bases loaded situation or a chance where you can drive in a run, because I've seen, like you said, a lot of people losing out on that. And then I agree with you, like you said, you use them too early or like you said with Acuña, I haven't seen a batter do that, but where he's just feeling it that day, and he thinks he knows what he doesn't know, and he weighs two challenges like that, and you don't get any back until extra innings. So things like that, the multiple challenges in a row, especially early on in the game, I'm saving that for my elite hitters. I know in Texas we have a guy like Corey Seager. I'm gonna let him challenge. I know, you know, some people have better eyes at the plate, so maybe like an Evan Carter, but the rest of the roster, I don't want to see him spamming the challenges. I have seen pitchers. I think they are probably the least person I'd want to see make the challenge. I think these catchers, like we were talking about, they have a pretty good view of it. But the pitchers, you know, they yeah. want everything to be a strike. And a lot of them have sort of put that responsibility on their catcher. Be like, hey, man, you got it. I'll just go with the flow on it.
Yeah, absolutely. And see, before you go, I got the percentages so far by team. Overturn percentages.
Yeah.
Number one, the Arizona Diamondbacks, 80%.
Really? Astros, right.
Yeah. Actually, last is the Seattle Mariners. The Seattle Mariners have challenged, let's see. They've challenged 13 times. They've won 5. They've lost 8. They're 38%. As a matter of fact, the majority of the league, you have only 5 teams over 60%.
What are the 5 teams?
The Diamondbacks, the Athletics, the Cincinnati Reds, the Tampa Bay Rays, and your New York Metropolitans. The New York Mets, the Mets are at 63%. They've challenged 12 times. The Mets have challenged 8 times. They won 5, they lost 3. So the teams with the higher percentage outside of the Athletics, Cincinnati, and Tampa, the Mets and Diamondbacks haven't challenged that many times. That's why their percentages are so high. The Diamondbacks have only challenged 5 times.
So when you have like Freddie Peralta on the mound, or like Nolan McClain, or like, you know, the pitchers who like their stuff kind of looks like alien, like almost like, you know, the changeup, the Devin Williams airbender pitch, like some stuff like that. Like you leave that to the umpires to kind of delineate and do, because like, you know, like it's already deceptive and whatnot, but like you were saying earlier, I really do like that taking the human error element out of baseball has put more human human life into baseball. Like you said, like the crowds, you see like players, you see like pitcher ego kind of come out. It's fun. It's fun. It's like, it's damn near scot-free. Like you might lose a game for it later, but like you also might lose a game anyway. But I do agree that managers, you know, they're making their money now, at least like a bit more so than before, in terms of having to game plan strategy baseball, which is really cool. You know, like you said, you have your guys with elite eyes or elite, you know, the elite zone or the elite batter's box and things. And you know, you let those guys go for it. Like, I don't think I'll ever tell Juan Soto, hey, don't challenge that. But, like, we should certainly use a bit more I can't even think of the word. They should be more, like, they shouldn't tag the button as much, especially in, like, early innings. I think that's so silly. Like, a first inning challenge, unless, like, you got, like, 2 men on in scoring position and 2 out, and so like, and you're facing like Paul Skeens or something, like, brother, you're going to get another chance. Like, there's so many opportunities in baseball, but like, it makes the game, it makes you think about the game a bit more, and as much as like, you know, you should want to. So I like it. I like the idea.
Yeah, and I actually want to apologize to the Seattle Mariners. They're not the worst team. I had to keep scrolling. On batting challenges, it's actually the Milwaukee Brewers. They've challenged 7 and they've won 1. So, you know, the hitters in that lineup, we need to just relax a little bit. Let's not do it. Bottom 5 is the Brewers, the Rockies, the Guardians, the Nationals, and the Angels. So pretty much the teams you would expect to be, you know, in the bottom of anything that we do baseball related.
Oh my gosh, the Angels. So rare.
He had his reasons. That's one of those situations where he's always hit Ronaldo Lopez well. He took him deep in the beginning of the game. You hit him in his second at bat, and then this one you damn near hit me in the face. We got to have a conversation about that.
Hey,
that's just old school baseball. I wasn't mad at that at all.
You saw what I said. Off GP, if Soler want to hit anyone in a Braves uniform, as long as it ain't the big four, who cares? You get one.
But remember, he's a former Brave. He's a World Series hero. Like, they love him. So you saw
exactly. You get one.
Weiss tackled him. He said, you know, that's a big man. I didn't want him to hurt anybody. Like, he tackled him. And then when they got up, it was Weiss, it was Ozzy, and it was Acuna that were all around him. So it was like
the Weiss thing is so cool because Weiss is a 62-year-old man. Like,
oh no. Like, if people didn't think that he's bought in on this team and this team is with him, you saw it right there. Like,
yeah, like
he's their manager. They love cool. that guy.
Like, no, and like, did you see like he does like jujitsu in his free time and stuff like that? Like,
bro.
All sorts of, you know, this is why baseball is so crazy. You learn all sorts of like stuff that you would have never thought of before because someone threw a pitch too fast. Like, that's crazy. I love baseball.
Yeah, no, bro, it's funny, but yeah, Soler was suspended 7 games for that. I'm not sure.
Today. He got him today too.
Yeah, he did.
Mm-hmm. He hit a home run. I think that was the first inning. He got some. He because he was appealing it. He got to play. But yeah, he hit another shot today off of him.
Okay. Well, yeah. No, but I mean, like we said, ABS has been a success, and I think going forward, you'll see more of it. Now, I don't know if we'll ever get to the robo umps, like, you know, the KBO. I believe their umpires just wear earpiece and they just relay the call based on what the computer tells them. I don't think we'll ever get there just here, but. We'll see. We'll see. Yeah, but it has been successful so far. Last thing we'll do, be a little bit of rapid fire, but we're going to talk about the respective teams that each of us follow. For Malik and myself, we actually cover these teams. The Braves will be coming home this week. I actually have a wedding out in San Francisco, so I'll be in the Bay, but I'll be back during the week. The Marlins come to town, and they have another series. But one thing I want to talk about, Drake Baldwin. Drake Baldwin has emerged. It's not only a star, but we're hearing whispers of, you know, superstar. It's very early, of course. But not only does he lead, you know, all catchers in these statistics, but all of Major League Baseball, 12 games played, that's the most in the league. 11 runs scored, that's the most in the league. He has 16 hits. He has 5 home runs, which currently leads the league. He has 14 RBIs, which currently leads the league. His OPS right now is currently 1.042. On-base percentage, 0.38. Slugging, 0.65. He's been a monster, and he's been calling great games as well. He doesn't usually call Chris Sale. You know, Chris Sale usually goes with a vet. But we may start seeing more of that. But now, with his emergence, the Atlanta Braves have a little more flexibility. I know Sean Murphy is still on the injured list, working his way back. He'll be rehabbing soon. But that's the guy. I know they talked about him DHing. You now have some options. You now have some options because Drake is now going to clearly be your number one guy. And I think the sky is really the limit with this kid. And the fact that he's been able to hold the offense together while we wait for Austin Riley to arrive. You know, Austin finally, you know, broke out of his slump during that game where the fight broke out because he was 3-for-33 at one point after opening day and was really struggling. So waiting on Ronnie, waiting on Austin, those guys to get it together. But the bottom of the lineup, Dubon, I know Malik, you saw a lot of him when he was in Houston. I didn't know he was this good, bro. Like, especially defensively. Like, he was a gold glove. I mean, gold glover played so many positions. And, you know, I just looked at him as more of a utility platoon guy. But as the Braves' everyday shortstop, it's not really a rush, you know, for Kim to come back. Because, hey, man, you know, heal up, take your time, because we have somebody there holding that spot down. So, but like with that being said, back to Drake Baldwin, I really believe this is a guy who you're going to see continue to elevate his game. And he's going to, you know, the Braves have always had really good catchers, and I think he's going to add himself to that list. And, you know, it's just a matter of what we do now. But he's been holding down that two spot. And once Ronald Acuna starts to get on base more, then you'll see those RBIs continue to rise. And, you know, this offense is going to be really dangerous.
Yeah, I really like Dubon. I think it wasn't even a point of he was not good enough to be a full-time starter. It was more of the Astros just had too many too many bodies bouncing, you know, just poor. I mean, they just the way the roster was constructed with all the righties in their outfield, and Jordan can't do this, Kyle Tucker can't do this, Jose Altuve moving everywhere, left field, now he's at second base. So I'm happy to see Dubon showing out. And then as far as Drake Baldwin, him and Shea Langeliers, they're my two favorite catchers right now. I talk with my friends up at the ballpark, and we're trying to figure out I mean, you know, everybody's talking about the World Baseball Classic, who will be back there next year. I'm like, or the next time. I'm like, man, Baldwin and Langeliers, they're both mashing the ball right now, and they're both really good defensively. They Shea especially, I actually played high school baseball against him back in the day. So it's really cool to see him shining. I'll use my time though real quick just to talk about the Texas Rangers and the pitching matchups I got to see this weekend, in specific. Our guy Kumar Rocker, he had his opening start, pushed back about 10 days due to different injuries. And the next day, he was supposed to pitch on a Wednesday, but Nathan Uvalde had 5 days off of rest. He's like, no, I want to go today. So Kumar got – then they didn't want him to do the home opener. So it was really impressive to see him go. He went five innings, gave up two runs against the Cincinnati Reds. All those runs in the first inning, and honestly, the defense – is responsible for those. Everybody in the infield bobble the ball. He's showing that he's got some elite stuff. And then my favorite matchup of the week that I got to see was Sunday afternoon. Chase Burns, former second overall pick, faces Jack Leiter, another former second overall pick. Chase had about 13 minor league starts. It took Jack about damn near 30, and it took him to get beat up in the major leagues a few times, get sent down about 2-3 times. But since All-Star break last season, he's been one of the best pitchers in the game. They both went 6 innings, both struck out 9, no decision. Tito left in Chase Burns one batter too long. After these pitchers start screaming and cussing at their mamas and everybody and all that, your manager's got to take them out. We saw the same thing with Albert Pujols and Severino in the World Baseball Classic. So, three young arms to watch out for. And I'll give a shout out to one more, Jacob Latz, Texas Rangers pitcher. Not a starter due to the rotation depth, but deserves to be one. 0-for-28 streak to start the season is the longest in Ranger history.
Okay, that's not what you want to hear, but my main man.
He's a pitcher.
Okay. I'm about to say, damn, that's actually terrible.
I mean, Peterson is pretty close to those numbers. Was pretty okay. Close to that 0-for-27. But yeah, Jacob Latz, starting pitcher. I believe he just turned 30 today. But he's a sneaky bullpen all-star to look out for.
Yeah. Okay. No, that's what's up. No, I see who you got. The collective pause was hilarious. I was like, damn, that's actually awesome.
Not on the shout out list.
Hey, it's so funny that we've been doing this together for so long that like me and Tay were like, wait, what?
Yeah, he's like, nah. This is history.
Oh, that was good. So we gonna shout out Luis Robert Jr. Like I said earlier, I don't know if y'all see we got the dangly Cuban earring going on, because that's primo right there. That's Cuzzo. That's Cuban blood. His walk rate by year. So in 2023, 5% walk rate, 40.6% chase rate. 2024, 6% walk rate, 35.9% chase rate. 2025, 9.3% walk rate, 32.5% chase rate. 2026, I know we are only 10 games into the season, so like it is not even worth talking about. But since Juan Soto is out with an injury and we're talking about outfield production, Luis Robert Jr., 24% walk rate with a 24% chase rate this year. You put, you know, the, like I said, the $20 million opt-in, push the button. We're here. But also Mark Vientos, right? Mark Vientos, back against the wall, seems to play his best baseball in the world for whatever reason. Over the last 7 games, he is slugging .583 with an on-base percentage of .407, hitting an average .375. He is your Pete Alonso replacement, long-term, short-term, all of the above. He's playing good first base defense. And it seems as, you know, we now have more answers about where Mark Vientos belongs on the diamond and where Brett Beatty belongs around the diamond. And so, you know, it is the production, like I said, for what David Stearns likes to build from what we know of his teams, the Mets seem to be on their way to being one of those more productive productive franchises that he has constructed. So I'm all in.
Yeah, man, like I said, we know it's only week two, so we're not getting too excited about anything. But and a lot of good trends, a lot of positive trends to look at with, like I said, with each of these three ball clubs, man. And we're going to definitely keep reporting back to you with everything that we see, the good, the bad, the ugly. But, I mean, right now, it's looking pretty good. And that's all we got for y'all this week, man. Like we said, we're going to keep it to about 30 minutes. We actually had 30 minutes and 46 seconds. So, you know, right on the money. We appreciate you all as usual. Anything you want to see, anything you want to hear us talk about, let us know. Feel free. You know, we comment, we like to yap, and we do talk back on social media. So anything you want to hear about, let us know. Anything you don't like, let us know. We'll talk about that as well. It is what it is. You know where to follow me. You know where to follow Sid. You know where to follow Malik. Follow the Barber's Chair at the Barber's Chair Cole on Twitter and Instagram. Patreon.com/Barber's Chair Network. And for all things Barber's Chair related, make sure you check out the BCNet.com. We'll see you next week.